Hi, I'm Bande Sejato, and I'm here today with Leslie Christian to discuss a verse from the Theragata, the verses of the senior monks, which we're reading from the translation on Sutta Central. And this time we'll be looking at the verse number 26 by Venerable Abhaya. Abhaya, of course, meaning fearless. Here's the verse. Having heard the wonderful words of the Buddha, the kinsman of the sun, I penetrated the subtle truth like a hair tip with an arrow. So this verse is a celebration, remembrance of Venerable Abhaya's practice, hearing the two crucial elements here. First of all is actually hearing the Dhamma, and the second thing is the insight that relates to it, is actually applying that Dhamma to reality. And so there's a joy and an uplift to that experience. He loves the words of the Dhamma. The phrase the kinsman of the sun here in Pali is Adicca Bandhu, which is used as an epithet of the Buddha. Originally, it kind of relates to the fact that in the old ancient Indian genealogies or lineages, they had a solar lineage and a lunar lineage. So the solar lineage of kings was originally descended from the great sort of legendary king of the past called Ikshvaku, and he was associated with the sun. So the Buddha's family was, again according to the legend, was descended from the lineage of Ikshvaku, or in Pali Okaka, hence is called the kinsman of the sun. But of course in the Buddhist context it has more than just a family meaning, but of course relating to the idea of the sun as awakening and light and insight and so on. And so the main point here is that Venerable, there's two kind of aspects. It's not just enough to hear the teachings, you know. These days we have teachings, you know, so widely available in books and websites and YouTube and all of these things. So actually it's very easy for us to hear those wonderful words of the Dhamma, but the hard part is then how do we apply that? And he's used this simile, like piercing the tip of a hair with an arrow, which was it's a fairly well-used simile. We find it a number of times in the suttas, and this was one of the kind of the archery skills that the great archers would do. That was literally felt to be, you know, such a good archer that you would be able to pierce the tip of a hair with your arrow. So here he's using that as a simile for how subtle and how fine the Dhamma is. So, Leslie, what do you think?
Yeah, so I particularly love the idea of the sharpness of the arrow, but the sort of very fine subtlety of the notion of hair, so that the arrow can actually split the hair. Is the meaning of that?
Yeah.
So it's kind of sharp, it's fast, but it's also got that subtlety.
Exactly, yeah. And that, I mean, the hair is something which is basically you can't imagine anything smaller, right?
No,
I mean, we were living in an age when they didn't have microscopes and things like that.
Mm.
So it's basically as small as it gets.
Yes.
And it's almost like it's almost like a superpower, right? So if you're an archer who could literally do that, then, there are stories of archers who could do that, it's a simile for seeing the truth. And to me, it's an ambivalent image in a sense. That I mean, to split a hair with an arrow, obviously, is very difficult. But on the other hand, it's very easy. You just shoot the arrow and you get the hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not hitting anywhere else, actually, that's where it goes.
You will go. What about the voice, Bunte? You know, having heard it, it's in that first person.
Yes. Yep.
Reflective.
Yep.
So this would be the voice of the monk.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking. So this is first person. So this would be the monk speaking. You know, we're not given the context so much in the verses themselves. So what the context is, I mean, these are not written texts, remember, so it's all in the oral tradition.
Yeah.
So somehow it had to be communicated.
Right. Yeah?
So whether this is a verse that he taught to others, right? Perhaps he used in his own Dhamma teaching, or maybe even just shared with the monks who are around or something like that. But it must have been communicated in some way.
It's got a conversational feel.
The use of verse was often that they would encapsulate the essence of a theme or an idea, which would then be drawn out in more detail in a conversation around that, exactly as we're doing right now.
Okay.
So the form that we're using right now is in fact continuing that Indian tradition of discussion of the meaning of the text, which the Pali word for that is attakatha, which is the word we use for our commentaries, the commentarial tradition. Each one of these verses has its own attakatha, its own discussion of the meaning.
Okay.
So this would have been the verse, and presumably he would have gone on to then explain more and give more details in the context and so on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us, and I hope to see you next time.